Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Answer this very non-Zen question. Why do you want to work with this particular issue? Record and listen. Note, the obvious answer is I don't want to suffer. So we encourage you to go beyond the obvious answer. Here we go. Here's our first
All
caller.
Right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, great. This is Eleanor in Georgia. Hi, good morning. Or afternoon.
Hi,
whatever. Oh, yay. First one on the call. I've been trying to get on for a while. Hi.
Hi there.
So, hi. Happy
or
to be here.
Or as we like to say in the South, hey.
That was good. That was excellent. Very good.
All right.
Hey.
All
right. Hey. So, let me take a deep breath. What I saw in this one, this content came up, and it was, my immediate reaction was really different than on the last content where I turned it outward. I had just come to this great place of practicing for the last few weeks with taking care of myself when I saw ego go to stories about everything that was wrong out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was working great. It was the day of no self-hate, actually, that brought it to me, that if I brought it inward and told myself I was okay, that I was unconditionally loved, then everything around me seemed also to be accepted and not so separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's all great. And then on this content, what happened immediately it was turning in on me, and it was, I'm not doing it right, you know, something's wrong with you. And so that's where it went to, was the details of my personal life instead of, and then as I reread it and recorded it and looked at it, it was like, wow, you know, I know this experience of oneness and being present, and I know that experience. I have a relationship where that is we practice with, and it's really a gift. So, but at the same time, the big powerful story came in that there was really something wrong with me in this area. So, that's how
even,
I am. Yeah.
Even though, when you reflected on it, that wasn't your experience.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. And
but it,
how
you know, helpful. I went through. Excuse me? Go ahead.
How helpful to be able to see that that they're actually, I'm not experiencing anything wrong. And then as soon as a subject is presented, ego always has the same orientation to everything. Okay, let's find out what's wrong with you. All right?
It is.
Now that we've established that, we will move on to what's wrong with them. And then we'll move back to what's wrong with you.
Yeah. And all it took was, like, new content to come up to just set it off again like that. So, wow.
And which, again, Eleanor, is so helpful. If we
it's
can
so
get
helpful.
That as, right? We get that as a principle. Every time new content is introduced, ego is going to run the same scam, hoping that we will be distracted enough by the content to realize we're being trapped in the same process.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And it took, where it took me was that happened, that I was not doing it. I got the self-talk, the negative trap, and then the resistance right behind it. Oh no, you know, why do I have to look at this? So that was the second, that's what comes next. And I saw that again. So
yes, which again is so important, isn't it? Because that is a universal principle, right? So, so there's the subject. There's something wrong with you. That's what you're going to find out if you look into this. So you better not look into it because you're going to get all that bad news. And when we see that, we get to the place of, okay, I don't believe that, so I'm going to look at this, and there lies, that in that direction lies freedom. Right?
Yeah,
you're not
how
gonna
nice.
Find out that there's anything wrong.
How nice that that dropped right in. Was, oh,
yes.
Yeah, I remember this happening before, you know?
Yeah,
I can,
yeah.
I can safely look at it. You know, this is really not what ego is saying. I can look at this. So,
I can look
wow.
at this. Right, and I can take comfort in, before this subject was introduced, I didn't have a problem.
Oh, exactly.
Right? And so, where does the problem lie? Well, with ego. So now the exploration can be, okay, well, let's do go deeper into this subject. Let's do explore it. Because
it is.
Because it's interesting, and I want to make sure that I'm not being held up in any regard. So here, and
how?
And you have a partner with whom you can explore this.
Yeah, exactly. But how wonderful the way we're practicing this, because I can see it coming back, and then you know after the resistance, and okay, yes, I do want to explore it, and then it was like, oh wow, and what. And I'm going to see some amazing things here because I know I did last month and the month before. So pretty, it's building. It really is.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wow.
You are so welcome.
Very cool.
You. Go
Thank
happy.
You. Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye, Eleanor.
Thanks, Eleanor. Trey, what I was sharing in that was simply that that thing about not necessarily, we don't have to focus on the self-hate as the suffering, right? That in, as soon as self-hate says there's something wrong with you, then it's hard to look at anything because that becomes the first level of deflection. Mm-hmm. But to be able to investigate something without the layer of what's wrong, simply because mm-hmm. I am looking, I'm doing a practice of awareness, and I want to see. Mm-hmm. I want to see how I'm kept from all that I can be, or how I'm limited by the conditioning that I have been subjected to. There's a way in which there's an investigation without something wrong, and such a powerful place to practice from.
Yes, and what I saw as you were laying that out is, okay, so I find out that there's something going on with me. As you say, without it being self-hate, but there is something going on with me, okay?
Yeah.
That's okay. I can look at that.
Yeah.
I can be, and whatever it is, if it doesn't get pulled into the area of self-hate, if I'm not looking at it through ego's self-hating lens, then I want to know everything, right?
Yes.
I'm open to all of it. It's just information.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be freedom there.
Yes, and that's it, right? The self-hate deflects to the content of self-improvement. And if we don't fall for it, we can look at conditioning from awareness rather than through conditioning, and there's the possibility of liberation.
Yes, and this is a good time to do a commercial for the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreats coming up, right? Because in my experience, without that foundational work for any awareness practice, it's almost impossible to sidestep self-hatred because we don't really know what it is. So anyway.
And the encouragement that we do it regardless of where we are in practice, and even if we've done the retreat before, because there's a way in which we go deeper and deeper into the root of how self-hate operates every time we do that retreat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. This is Diane in
Hello.
Colorado.
Hello, Diane. What are you seeing?
Oh, man.
Where do we start?
Yeah, exactly. Well, at first I saw, well, you're not in a relationship, and haven't been for quite a while, a romantic relationship. So this, you can sit this one out.
Yeah, and you can sit this one out, and when a relationship comes along, then you can face it all.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I didn't quite fall for that trap, but now I'm in the trap of, this is just so, well, then I was like, okay, well, wait, let's look at relationships in, you know, romantic relationships rather than sexuality specifically. And then there's just so much, there's so much self-hate in that.
Yeah.
So the conversation you were just having about looking and seeing from unconditional love seems to be the approach I need to take.
Yeah.
As an opportunity just to see what is going on. I mean, I can talk till the cows come home about what I think is going on, and it's just a self-hating message rather than a way through.
Well, and of course the way through is the fact that you've seen that.
I hope so.
Oh, I know so. I know so. Because not only have you seen what stopped you, but you've seen what it is that you need to, how you need to approach this, which is from unconditional love. And as you well know, we have a great tool to work with that, the two-handed recording. So instead of listening to self-hate, talk to people about themselves, you can actually be in conversation with the various aspects who are, well, primarily being subjected to self-hating messages. You can help them to look at their direct experience through a lens of unconditional love, through compassion rather than self-hate.
Okay. Yeah. When I'm doing the two-handed recording, it's sometimes hard for me to see when it's really the mentor talking or it's ego disguised as the mentor.
But you know what, Diane? The more you do it, the clearer that will be. And the very fact that you're questioning it is the information you need that you will know how to tell the difference.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just doing it more and listening more. And you know, what happens is that we just have a feeling about it. You know, there's just a, that doesn't feel unconditional. And that's okay. You just do it again. You know, let the person talk again and see what arises to respond to the person. And you're listening. And Diane, what you're looking for is what's doing that listening.
Wait, say that again?
What you're looking for, and what we're all looking for, but I'm talking to you right now. What you're looking for is what's doing that listening. So you've got the recorder, and the person is talking about relationship, romantic relationship, and sliding into sexuality and that sort of thing. And then the mentor, we hope, is what's responding to that. But what's there aware of that whole process is what you're really looking for. That's when I say you'll feel it. You'll feel that presence. You'll feel the unconditional.
Okay.
All right.
It's the sense of awareness.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And whatever else happens is just gravy. Right? Okay. Let me know. All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Go happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thanks, Diane. You know, Sherry, that's such an important perspective in terms of practice, right? Because what I was sharing in that is if I'm not in the content, then I can't look at the suffering, which uh-huh. presupposes that the content is what causes me to suffer rather than the process that I bring to any content.
Yes.
Ooh. And so
that's subtle.
To get them. Yeah, so that I can look at anything, whatever it is, if I've had the experience in that content of suffering, I can look at my process around it, right? Mm-hmm. Because ego is mm-hmm. operating. Ego is operating regardless of whether the content is up or not.
That's right. It and it's got one playbook, right? That's right. What you're pointing at, yeah, yeah. So it's always doing. It's always running the same con.
Yes.
And what we're doing in this is closing in on recognizing that con, regardless of circumstances.
Right. The flavors of it, the attributes of it, what it says,
yeah.
what it does, isn't very
yeah.
different, right?
Right.
And the other,
right.
the corollary or the parallel in the practice setting is, I can move to make the movements to unconditional love with a two-handed recording, even if there's no content up, because all I'm practicing is the same thing, which is to get out of ego into the wisdom, love, and compassion that into the experience of the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates. So
yes.
to do, we often talk about it as the four movements of the two-handed recording are simply practice movements, like you play a scale, and you want to get very good at the technique of that and internalize it so that it's available when the content is up.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so you recognize ego when the content isn't up, and you practice the movements to unconditional love when the content isn't up. And it's possible to do that.
Yeah, because ego is, what you said, ego is always running that scan, whether we're aware of any particular content or not. It's always running the same routine.
And it's accessible. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
All right.
When you were saying that, I thought for process content, if I'm in a process of dissatisfaction, it doesn't matter if I'm in New York or Florida or Colorado or Washington or Paris, right?
Mm-hmm.
The process of dissatisfaction is going to be there wherever I am, as long as that's the con that I'm falling for.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. That was very good.
Thank you. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura from Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Let's see. Well, what I've seen so far is definitely resistance, not wanting to look at this.
Oh, I like the way you just said that, Laura. Resistance, not wanting to look at this. So it's not like I'm feeling resistance and I don't want to look at this. I, authentic human being, resistance doesn't want to look at this. Resistance doesn't yeah. want me to look at this. That was very helpful to just kind of merge those into one thing. All right,
yeah.
go ahead.
Well, and I've been struggling a little bit with which piece to look at. Because, I mean, the thing that I think I want to look at is kind of this belief that that if I'm not having sex, there's something wrong, you know, like that and that's sort of bound up in the, if I don't have a partner, and I gotta, you know, but it's like that I'm somehow like missing out on life. I'm, you know, I don't like the word that came up, like letting life pass me by. I'm like,
You're on the sidelines. Everybody else is living life, and
and I need to get with the program, and you know, like, but the challenge is right now, I am dating someone, and so, but what I suspect is that that belief is still operating, but that that in this content, you know, of dating someone, then it's like a clinging, like, well, I gotta hold on to this, I gotta, you know, so it wouldn't be okay if, you know,
right,
if we weren't dating
right
anymore.
And, right, you're you okay know. Now because you've checked the boxes, right?
You're
being
the
right person. You're being the right person now because you're engaging in all of the things that conditioning says makes you the right person. And a la our conversation yesterday, I would bet that at the same time that this is the case, right? And God, you've got to hang on to this human being who is fulfilling that piece of the puzzle, right? At the same time, that system is probably starting to work at getting rid of him.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed any flaws? It's got a few little human flaws going on that the voices in your head would like to point out a lot.
Well, I feel like I was telling my friend the other day that I feel kind of bipolar in this relationship where it's like, and I suspect that it's moving in and out of the story, you know, because it's like when I'm not seeing, you know, when I haven't seen him a little bit or whatever, I feel like, I mean, I just get so convinced of like, well, this really isn't that great. And, you know, and this really isn't right. You know, it's not right. It's not actually checking all my boxes. It's not the right kind of relationship. And it's really kind of dangerous. And, you know, definitely need to cut this off. Mm-hmm. And then I see him, and I'm like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. And you could feel yourself because you've been practicing for a while, noticing what's going on. You can feel yourself, right? Just pulled in this direction, pulled in that direction. And how conditioned mind just creates the reality for you through that conversation. And whether it's just that quiet kind of, oh, I don't know if this is, or, oh, no, this is really great. You can feel that it just, okay, look through this lens, and there's your life, and that's who you are. Look through that lens. There's your life. That's who you are. And where is Laura? Where is Laura in this? Yeah.
And the thing that came up as you were talking about, like, now you're checking all the boxes. I was realizing as you were saying that, like, that's actually not my experience in this. It's like, it's just shifted, you know. It's like when I'm not in a relationship and it's like, oh, life's passed me by and whatever. In the relationship, it's like, you know, when I'm in the program, it's like, well, this isn't quite right. Or
that's right.
The wrong kind
that's
of person, you know.
That's right. So this is perfect example of my, if you're in dissatisfaction, it doesn't matter where you are, right? And that's it. So whether you're in Paris or Houston, is irrelevant because you're going to be dissatisfied. Whether you're in relationship or you're out of relationship, you're going to be dissatisfied because that's the bottom line for ego. Get that human to dissatisfaction as quickly as possible because that's how the little ring slips through the nose and you start feeling that gentle or not so gentle tug in whatever direction that ego is taking us now. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let us know, huh?
All right.
Because make some lists and do some recordings, okay? Oh, he's great. Oh, no, I don't think that's that. And from that place I was just talking about with Diane, just watch what, be aware of what's watching that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And I did a tune recording recently where it was like, because it was, you know, in the right hand it was like, oh God, what should I do? And in the left hand it was, maybe that doesn't even matter, because in this relationship I feel like I've gotten to see on such a deeper level, like how, like that whole process, you know.
Maybe this really is a workshop.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. Sure, we have time for one more caller. So here we
All
go.
Right.
Next caller, you're All now right. live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my gosh, I'm on. I'm so grateful. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Todd in Olympia, Washington.
Hello, Todd.
Hi. So I guess I needed some guidance. Like, I could really relate to the reading where it talked about you're in the nightclub looking at someone's midriff, right? Like, and like, what is that all about? And the thing that I struggle with is knowing kind of like, because like in the resuscitation with the meditation, it talks about unchaste behavior. And that's where I struggle with this content is like, what's okay sexual behavior wise and what's not okay. And I'm not talking about hurting people and obviously that kind of thing. But I don't know. Is that too big or too much?
that is so good, isn't it? Because here's where I think anyway, we struggle as human beings. So I'm doing whatever. And I have this sense. Okay? So if we just go with that specific, this doesn't feel quite right. This doesn't really feel good.
Well, yeah.
Does that mean it's unchaste? So now, what am I listening to? Where's the guidance? Is it just preteen morality that was imposed? And that self-hate has taken over and has turned into a moral issue, and now I'm going to be held to it? Or am I really having a deep sense of something authentic in me that's trying to raise a hand and say, this is not a good direction?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's...
Go ahead.
No, and I'd much rather hear what you
say. And this is where, when we keep going from the specific to the universal, that's what awareness practice is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? What is that? Where is that coming from? Is that ego? Is that intuitive knowing? Is that legit? Is that bogus? Am I just being jerked around? And now this is where I could get a lot of criticism, I suppose, because for me, and I think that this is true of awareness practice, there is no freedom in just doing what you've been conditioned to believe is the right thing for you to do. So if that's your goal, to be the right person, and to have everybody affirm that you are the right person, you're following all the rules, then that's a great direction. But if you want to be free, then you've got to risk. Right? You've got to risk everything because I think Ashwini was just saying this the other day. One of my favorite quotes: If you're a good person because you're afraid not to be, you're actually not a good person. You're just afraid.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah. So scary as it is, we have to find out. And what, to me, this process, seeing how this process applies to everything in our lives, we can apply the clarity to every bit of content in our lives.
Yes. Wow. Okay, no, that, oh my gosh, that's absolutely perfect.
It's a workshop, Todd.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. My life is changing, and I am so grateful, and I can jump to the moon right now. So anyway, thank you so much. Sorry for the background noise.
You are so welcome. And again, I hope you keep good notes, because I'm going to want to report, okay?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, all right. Most definitely. So go happy.
Go happy.
Okay,
bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Don.
Ashwini?
Sorry, I was talking. I was talking, but nobody heard me. And I just said that
we did not
to the end of the show, and there's so much to say about that last conversation, but let's go to our assignment.
All right.
For the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about this issue. Keep this issue in the front of your awareness as you go about your day. Each time you become aware that attention is on the issue, notice what the voices are saying and jot it down.
Oh, this one's especially for Todd, isn't it?
For Todd and for Diane.
Yeah, those voices are going to have a lot to say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. Very exciting. Thank you so much, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Manana, go happy.